Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Solomon is saying, if you want to make the best out of life, you cannot go around worrying over the unfairness. Remember that God will ensure that there is justice.
In today's lesson from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon reflects on the timing of events in life in this chapter, highlighting the fact that there is a time and season for everything under the sun, from birth to death, love to hate, war to peace. He acknowledges that everything occurs according to God's predetermined plan, and that time is structured in a way that cannot bring true satisfaction. Instead, it reveals a void in our hearts that only God can fill. Solomon affirms that God will judge both the righteous and the wicked, emphasizing the importance of finding joy and doing good in life. He encourages us to embrace the changes and cycles of life with trust in God's ultimate wisdom. Let's listen to Pastor Neil's message, Making the Best Out of Life.
So today we will focus on chapter 3 of the book of Ecclesiastes. And most of the time, the verses here have been coded. But if we took our time to go through, you will notice that they're giving us a whole different thing. So our focus this morning is making the best out of life. Making the best out of life. Please say that with me. Making the best out of life. Let's say that together. All right, so we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's lay some foundation. When God created mankind, he gave us two gifts. Gift number one, he gave us life. Gift number two, he gave us time. How many gifts did God give us? What are they? Life and the book of Genesis chapter 2, please, if you'll read with me from the New Century Version, the scripture says, then the Lord God took the dust from the ground and formed a man from it. He breathed the breath of life into his nose, and the man became a living being. God gave us life. We did not come from under a rock. Evolution is not true, period. God gave us what? Job says in the book of Job 33, look at the fourth verse. He says, the Spirit of God created me, and the breath of the Almighty gave me life. Please raise your right hand and say this after me, and say it with some attitude. I didn't come from under a rock. I am not a product of evolution. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by God himself. Amen. He gave us the gift of life. But secondly, he gave us the gift of time. Psalms 139, look at the 16th verse. Shall we? Go. You saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before. Did you get it? So before you were born, God already planned your day. He already planned it before it began. And notice what he says. He has good intentions in mind. So don't let anybody talk you into thinking that life is over for you. You didn't say a good amen. Life ain't over until God says it is what? So God gave us life, and he planned all our days. So he gave us the gift of time. What I wanted to see is that God is eternal, and he takes all of us from the eternal world and places in time. So he limits us. It's like going to a restaurant, and maybe you are in some restaurant where there are Italian dishes. That's all they do. And you are asking for banku. It means you are ordering something outside of the menu. Are you with me? But God made his world in such a way that he set the menu. And he says, choose from it. So he has given us our will, but he is still in control of some things. Are you with me? All right. So God has given us life, and he has given us time. What does he want us to do with it? The book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 15 to 16, Ephesians chapter 5, God tells us what he wants us to do with our time. He says, pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of time because the days are evil. So God gives you life, God gives you time, and he tells you what to do. He says, make the best out of it. Make the everything we are doing, you are trying to make the best out of your life within the time that God has set for you. How many of you know how many more years you will live? Anybody? You will notice you have no clue, but God has already determined it. He knows it. But you and I are not privy to it. Amen. And Solomon is saying that because God seemed to have given us life and he defined the time and he's placed certain limitations, he set the man when he wants us to choose from it. Sometimes it makes life a bit frustrating. It makes it boring. And he goes to the extent that when he left the faith and began to chase things, he found out some things. Four things Solomon found out. So let's pick that up from the book of Ecclesiastes, because as he begins chapter 3, he is telling us his observations, what he found out when he went out there. The traditional King James put verse 1 in this way. He says, to everything there is a season. To everything there is what? A season. To everything there is a season. And then he says, to every purpose there is what? There is supposed to be a time for it. All right? The CSB says there is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. Did you guys copy that? Okay. Now, let me try and explain those two words so we are not confused. Now, time and season. Say that with me. Time and seasons. Now, the whole of 2024 is time. God has created you and I, and he has put us in time. But in one particular year, there is winter, there is summer, there is spring, and there is fall. There are seasons. You cannot delay them, and you cannot hurry them. They are in God's control. Are you guys with me? He set the menu there. You all remember that in the book of Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was about to go up to heaven, the disciples came around him. He says, will you restore to us at this time the kingdom? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father had put only in his purview. So there are things we are not privy to, but God expects us to make the most out of it. And here Solomon is saying, listen, I have observed life. And when I did, I realized that there is time for every purpose on earth. Then in the midst of time, God has created seasons. Are you with me? In other words, when God looks at your life, he never judges you by your age. Time is not a measurement of how God looks at you. He says there's a time for every purpose. So it means God judges you by your purpose. Why he put you on earth. That's how he evaluates you. And he's given you seasons so that during that time you make certain choices. Did you guys get a difference between time and a season? Within a particular time, there might be several seasons. And in every season, there are particular choices you have to make. Solomon says, I have observed that. And I believe he's correct. Because if you look at life, there is winter and there is summer. All right? Then there is what? There is the fall and there is what? The spring. He's not only talking about natural seasons, but he's also talking about, when we start reading, you'll notice that there are 28 seasons he mentions in the text. So number one, Solomon's first observation. Let's summarize it from verse 1. Solomon says, I've observed that there is a season for everything and a time for every purpose under the sun. You cannot hurry it and you cannot slow it down. Are you with me? You often hear people saying things like, let us pray that there will be an acceleration pay attention to the Word of God. I've seen many believers who have given up on their faith because they believe that it's taking too long. But I don't believe it's taking too long. If you can hang in with God, He will come through for you. Are you guys with me today? The Bible says, Solomon says, I have seen it. The second thing Solomon tells us is that, Solomon says, I've observed that God created time in such a way that it makes life a routine and it makes it predictable. Notice what how he says it in verse 2. He says, there is a time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing. A time to search and a time to count as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time of peace. If today in your life something ain't going right, it is not permanent. It is bound to change. Amen. Solomon says, I have observed that God gave me life. He gave me the gift of time. In it, He has limited me. But then he says, anything that you experience today cannot last forever. That thing can change. So if you are poor today, you can be rich tomorrow. Are you guys hearing me? If there is turmoil in your marriage today, you can experience peace tomorrow. This is why you need to respect people. Because the ones you meet today who are servants might become your bosses tomorrow. Are you understanding what is going on here? So Solomon says two observations. He says, number one, there is a time for every purpose, and there's a seasons that God has put in the center of it. But God has created life also in such a way that life is routine and is predictable. Ain't that true? When you wake up in the morning, you wake up in different bedrooms. You wake up in the same bedroom. You bath in the same bathroom, correct? You go to the same closet. You choose from the same clothes. Even if you choose one clothes every day. Ladies, as for guys, we just choose. Even if you chose a different dress, you realize that after 2 months, you are back to the same one. Come on, don't leave me hanging now. You come back to the same dresses. The cycle continues. Right? And Solomon says, it's boring sometimes. It's predictable. He goes on. Let's bring it into our time. Do you eat different breakfast? You eat the same breakfast. If it's not eggs and it's not yogurt, what is it? So he's saying same old, same old. Life is like that. A time that you wake up and you do the same things over. You drive in the same car on the same highway. You go to the same job. And then you go to the job you don't like, but you go. Because God has boxed us in. He has set the menu, and we are supposed to choose out of it. It looks as if God wants to take excitement out of us. No. I'll show you how you can make the most out of it. Amen. You meet the same people you don't like. The same bosses. You come back home to the same kids who get on your nerves. Life is a routine. Right? So is Solomon observing right? He says life can be predictable. So notice what he's doing. He says God has created time and he has put us in the center of it. Even though he is an eternal being, he lives outside of time. And he's limited every single one of us and given us a certain number of days to live. And in it, you have to make certain choices. Amen. This was Solomon's frustration. That he, like anybody else, no matter how much money he had, it was the same routine. Are you following his argument? Whatever you have, you are in the same routine. And whenever you find yourself in a routine, what is the normal reaction? Anybody? Whenever you find yourself in a routine, things seem to be boring. What is the normal thing we all want to do? We want to change. We want to break out of that cycle. So some people will tell you, get some rest. Go on vacation. The only one they can't tell you change your spouse. Because the other one coming, you don't know where they are bringing. We want to break the cycle, but it is so difficult. Why? Because everything, Solomon says, I realize is being set at an appointed what? Right now, we are all in summer, correct? Now, if we had a giant machine that can blow ice all over the world, America, would you have winter? Will you have winter? So Solomon is saying, listen, sometimes it doesn't matter the effort we put in, what God has set in place will be there. But then he has given us an extent to which we can choose, and that is what we must recognize. See, this is why when people are running around behaving and as if they are all that, you need to be cautious. You're still human. Because God, in some way, some fashion, has limited you. Amen. Thirdly, Solomon says, I observe that the routine and the predictable nature of life makes it difficult to find satisfaction and fulfillment. It makes it difficult. Look at verse 9. Please read with me. We're still in the book of Ecclesiastes 3. He says, what does the worker gain from his toil or from his struggles? I have seen the task that God has given the children of Adam to keep them occupied. It's like we've become some little kids. You know how sometimes your kids, they give you troubles, and when they are there, that place is called the terrible two. They're giving you too much troubles. You find some work for them to what? Occupy them. And when they finish and they come back, you give them what? It looks as if, Solomon is saying, it looks as if that's how God has made us. He's given us work to occupy us. Anybody identifying with that? Fourthly, Solomon says, I have observed that we live in a routine of time, but our hearts have been designed by God in such a way that it longs for, it desires something outside of time. So you and I will live in a tension. This is the crux of what I'm teaching today. God has created you, given you life, placed you in time, but he has designed your heart in such a way that your heart never desires anything in time. It desires everything outside of time. So notice how he says it in verse 11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. The King James says he makes all things what? Beautiful in its time. But he has also put eternity in our hearts, so that you cannot discover the work that God has done from the beginning. In other words, so you know he's the boss. So that you will know that he's in control. Solomon is saying that God has created time in such a way that you and I can never find fulfillment in time. Rather, time will reveal the vacuum in your heart that God has put there. And what is the vacuum God has put there? It's God himself. He has put something on the inside of all 8 billion of us that looks for something outside of time. So you'll find someone who has had so much in time, right? They've made all kinds of inroads in life, and yet they still don't feel satisfied. Why? Because God created us in time and put something that makes us desire something outside of time, which is him. And until a person desires that, you can have everything in time and you realize you are still not fulfilled. That is Solomon's observation. This is why when people say there is no God, you know they are liars. And you should be in agreement with what David said in the book of Psalms 53, verse 1. It's only the fool. I didn't say that. The scripture says. It's only the fool who says in his heart there is no what? Because, notice, he says in his heart. Because in that same heart, he has a longing for something outside. The one he's trying to deny, he's longing for him. So how do I make the most of life? Because if God has placed me in time, and design my heart to long for something out of time, it will make life very frustrating. Can I just park here a little bit? Is it okay if I park here a little bit? Have you seen how you wake up every morning, and sometimes no matter how tired you are, and even if you want to call in sick, you have no option but you have to go to work because God has actually boxed you in. And he does not want to destroy you. He wants you to come back to him because that's why he placed that longing, eternity in your heart. You know, I've heard people say, I've prayed about this and I have prayed about that and I've prayed about this and there seemed to be no way. Question is, have you gone back to him? Because most of the time he's driving you back to himself. Because he knows that if he doesn't put that there, human beings, we will ignore him. God knows. Have you seen some kids, after you've taken care of them all these years, they start working and make money, and they forget you? And what happens? What? You forgot all my toil? God says, no, you ain't going to do that to me. I'll put something in you that will always drive you back to me. Amen. So if you live your life without eternity in perspective, time in itself makes things difficult. In a graduation speech, Steve Jobs once says that men are running around trying not to live their own life, but to live the life of others. I'm paraphrasing it. And the only reason they are living other people's dreams and life, it is because there is a longing in their hearts. And he says, people, let me tell you, if you will want to have peace in life, make sure that whatever it is that is a vacuum in your heart, you search for God. It came from Steve Jobs. The things we chase for from Monday to Friday, does it give us satisfaction? Even if it does, it's for a period. I've seen people who have money, yet there's a new app that measures your sleep. It can tell everything you do in your sleep. And one guy was saying that the first day he downloaded the app on his phone, the next day he had to delete it because the report was such that even though he thought he was sleeping, he was still awake. Have you ever slept? You had 8 hours, but after you got up from your sleep, you realized you were very tired. Have you ever been there? Because God has given you work, and he boxed you in. And he says, if you are with me, then he gives his beloved what? So any human trying to live life without God is actually creating trouble for themselves. Because the designer of humans is the one who reserves the right to tell you what to do. How do I make the most? Now, Solomon has pursued other things. He's observed all that, and he begins to state some obvious facts. Look there with me in verse 12 to 13, Ecclesiastes 3. How do I make the most of life? We are answering that question. He says, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and enjoy the good life. That is one statement you will find everywhere. He says, listen, every time, just enjoy life at your level. Because some people can have a party of $5 million and others can have a party with $100. Do you agree? Yeah. The person who had party at $5 million, would they have any better enjoyment? Enjoyment is here. He says, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It is also a gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all his efforts. So how do I make the most out of life? Solomon is saying that never forget God enables you to make wealth. Never. When you are enjoying life, remember it is God who gave you the ability. I've seen very wealthy people buy very good beds, and they can't just sleep. When you enter their bedrooms, the decor, the colors, This is here, that is there. This is here, that's there. The place is spacious. They have a plant to boost oxygen. See, you're laughing because some of you just want to have the best bed. A preacher was being interviewed one time. And they asked him, we hear that you have a big house. He said, yes. How many bedrooms do you have? He said, 27. How many of the 27 would this individual sleep in? One. And in that one bedroom, how many beds can he put in there? Even if he could fit 27 in one bedroom, he can only sleep on one. And if he sleeps on one, he can only sleep on one side. Even if you decide you are not going to sleep vertically and sleep horizontally, you are still on one side. Why are we worrying ourselves with too many things? And getting high blood pressure over things that God says don't matter. He says, come to me because I have put a sense of eternity, a sense, a longing on the inside of you that wants to find me. And if a human being does not find God, they will make God out of anything. In the book of Romans, Paul says it, because they did not find the righteousness of God, they created their own. People are changing their sexes and their bodies and all kinds of things today because they cannot find God. Listen to me. God is here. He says, give me your heart and I will come in to you and be your God and be your Father. So number one, Solomon is saying, listen, enjoy life. But remember, now, the person who has given you that ability is God himself. Look at verse 14. He tells us the second thing we need to do. He says, I know that everything God does will last forever. There is no adding to it. Please add it or take him from it. God works so that people will be in awe of him. That word awe means people will respect him. You know, human beings, we can be a bit sassy. All of us. Don't you think? Solomon is teaching us, he says, after I came back, I understood that, yes, I ought to enjoy life. I ought to understand it is God who has done it, but I need to be in awe of him. There has to be this reverential sphere about this God that I don't take him lightly. It is something that would drive you and I to what I call a place where we have an attitude of worship and admiration for God that is not ordinary. Today you meet a lot of believers. You ask them, how are things? You look like you've been accomplished. He says, yeah, there's a lot I've been doing. I've been working hard. Who gave you the strength to do it? And you realize they will talk and talk and talk, and God is not in the center of it. Someone saying, listen, if you want to make the most out of life, first of all, make sure that you understand that it's God who gives you strength. But secondly, live life in awe of him. Can I park here a little bit? Because many believers don't live their life in awe of God. The pursuit of happiness in American society, life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? We think that when we go to work and we gain all the other things, then we have done so much work. But suppose you were at work and God says, today, I don't want you to have oxygen. You'll be a vegetable. But vegetable you have not been because of his mercy. Amen. Because of his grace. And you must live life in awe of him. I am where I am because of what he has accomplished in and through my life. Are you understanding what we're saying? It means whenever I live my life, I must have so much respect and regard for God that I don't mess around with him. I say this very carefully, but I believe that we need to confront it. Most of us in our world today seem to have a sense of entitlement. The best example I can give is your children. I once watched a video and this little kid, the parents were telling him, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have done this, this was not something you should do. He looked at the parents and told them, I didn't ask you to bring me. I am entitled to it. And some of us Christians live that way. It's like, God, I didn't ask you to bring me into the world. We have that sense of entitlement. No, it's okay for us to have an entitlement because we are the children of God. But never forget that it is He who gives you power to get wealth. It is He who has kept you alive. God could have chosen not to keep you alive, but He did. And you have to bless His name for that.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.